Welcome to God's Acre on the Go, a worship podcast of the Congregational Church of New Canaan in New Canaan, Connecticut. To learn about the life of our church, our in-person ministries, and the virtual connections and offerings available, please visit us at www.godsacre.org. Now, wherever you are, wherever you are going, we welcome you to worship.
Church family, welcome to God's Acre on the Go this Christmas Eve service. We're so grateful to have you tuning in. This evening, we are going to be reflecting on an aspect of the Nativity story, the different references to pondering, to considering deeply all that God was doing, is doing in those stories. But before we do that, I invite you to settle in and prepare your hearts and minds for the Word, listening to Sidney Anderson sing for us, O Holy Night.
Stars are brightly shining. It is the night of our dear Savior's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error pining, till He appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill
Sydney, thank you so much. You know, this is always, from my very earliest memories, been my favorite moment of the year, Christmas Eve and the candlelight service, which is saying something for a morning person who doesn't like to be up much past 9:30. There's just something sacred and holy about this particular evening. Maybe it's the darkness and then the light, the silence followed by song, the spoken word that is somehow incarnated, somehow takes shape in our midst. You know, tonight, it seems as if heaven and earth draw close and commune, if only for a brief moment. Tonight, peace in our lives, peace in our homes, peace in our world seems attainable. This silent and holy night appears as a hopeful opportunity for recreation, for new beginnings, for fresh starts. It was actually 30 years ago, this very night, under the Katona Christmas tree just across the border in New York, that I proposed to my beloved. And that yes that followed proved to be, for me, the greatest of gifts from God. Then our first act as an engaged couple was to go to the candlelight service at the Presbyterian Church of Mount Kisco that very night. So this is always a special night, a night when we remember and proclaim the Emmanuel promise, the promise of God with us, God right here with us in the birth of a baby, in the warmth of fellowship, in the light that will not be overcome by darkness. Tonight is a night to pause, to consider, to ponder the sacred mystery that is Christmas. Now, to ponder means to think deeply, to consider, to meditate upon something or other, without actually rushing to a conclusion or a decision. The word ponder only appears in the Bible 5 times, and 3 of those times occur in the telling of the nativity story, and I want to just share all 3 of them with you now. They're very brief but important. In chapter 1 of Luke, when the angel Gabriel appeared to Mary in Nazareth and greeted her with favor and also with astounding and terrifying promises, we're told, it says, Mary was much perplexed by his words and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Shortly thereafter, when Mary's cousin Elizabeth had given birth in her old age to a baby who had become John the Baptist, Elizabeth's whole community heard about all that had happened, and it says, They pondered those events and said, what then will this child become? And then finally, after the shepherds had appeared and told Mary and Joseph of the angelic pronouncement about their child, you can read in that passage at the very beginning of the 2nd chapter of the Gospel of Luke that Mary treasured all these words, it says. She treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. To ponder, to think deeply, to consider the awesome nature of life, of our existence, and of the presence of God in and through it all. I think that's what we pause to do this evening. We ponder, we wonder, we allow our minds to drift, untethered to our daily demands, guided perhaps by a Holy Spirit who leads us and our thoughts in directions we need to go, whether we understand those directions or not. I suspect that's one of the things we're supposed to do and be about as a church. Another translation of ponder rendered in some versions of the Bible is something like to be laid upon or to be held within one's heart. See, life is a great mystery. Faith is a gift itself. And God is beyond our imagining. There's very little that we can pin down with certainty. So taking time to ponder it all, to consider, to turn over in our hearts and minds the awesome nature of all that is, that's a worthwhile endeavor. And perhaps that is the work, if you will, that a church like ours should prompt people to. Though sometimes pondering in church just happens naturally when we're gathered together. I'm curious, has your mind ever wandered in worship? Who knows, maybe it's wandering right now. I'm speaking, trying to communicate a specific message to you, and your thoughts are just drifting in another direction. Has the choir been singing, and your mind bends in ways that you just not anticipated? Or Mariana or one of the deacons is praying, and you find yourself lost in thought with matters that aren't included in the prayer itself? Now, I got to tell you, that used to trouble me, people's wandering minds. I can see that wandering in the faces in the sanctuary at times. But you know, it doesn't concern me much anymore. While I hope worship pondering goes deeper than a mental to-do list for later that day or that week, I know that there's something holy and hopeful and healing that occurs as minds wander, as pondering minds just wander away. And I'm drawn by Scripture to consider that journey is not only sacred, but essential for spiritual well-being. Now, with that said, while I've grown to appreciate the benefits of the wandering mind, a slightly more guided meditation might be even more profitable and meaningful. The focus of our study plan this year, as you know, is meditate on my word. We're taking time to meditate upon and memorize scripture, to ponder, if you will, to take some time to sit and reflect on the intersection of scripture and our lives, of God's word and our daily actions and activities. I don't know if you've been doing that. I don't know if you've carved out time to ponder the memory verses for the month, but this month it's Corinthians, where it says, love is patient, love is kind, love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Now, you can take just one phrase of that passage at a time and consider it throughout the day. You can write it down, ponder, roll it around in your mind without trying to get to conclusion or decision. Love is patient. What does that mean? What could it mean? What did patient love look like? Or what did it mean for Mary or for Joseph or for Elizabeth? What does patient love from God look like for us? Or what does it mean to us? Does it look like something like a baby in a manger proclaimed as a renewed hope for the world? Or more personally, what does patient love look like in your marriage? What does patient love look like with your children or your grandchildren? What does a patient love look like applied to your own work, to your own life, or to those enemies Jesus instructs you and me to love? Love is patient. Consider that. Ponder that. And then move to the next phrase. Love is kind. Ponder, consider, think. Allow time and space for God's Spirit, prompted by a specific scripture, to guide you, to lead you, to take you wherever you need to go. Now, last time I was up really quite late was a few weeks ago. It doesn't happen all that often, so when it does, it's memorable for me. It was on December 7th, and Emma and I went to the Jimmy V Classic, the college basketball showcase at Madison Square Garden, hosted to remember Coach Jim Valvano, and also, most importantly, to raise awareness and money for cancer research. At halftime, they played Coach Valvano's famous speech at the ESPYs. You've probably heard it 1,000 times if you've heard it once, as he accepted the Arthur Ashe Courage Award. The speech, as you may remember, was given only weeks before Valvano's own death from cancer. And in that speech, he said, "There are three things we should do every day. We should do this every day of our lives." He said, "Number one is laugh. You should laugh every day. Number two is think. You should spend some time in thought. Number three, you should have your emotions moved to tears. Could be happiness or joy. But think about that," he said. "If you laugh, you think, and you cry, that's a full day. That's a heck of a day." You know, it's that middle part that I've been rolling over in my own mind since that late night, early morning at MSG. Think. Every day, we should spend time in thought, considering, pondering, turning over in our minds and hearts the meaning of life, the gift of love, the purpose that drives us. And on this Christmas Eve, we should take time to ponder how one little candle, when gathered with others, can illuminate all darkness and reignite life itself. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this silent and sacred and holy night. We pray that we would be wrapped up in your Spirit and delivered to the places you want us to go, delivered into the thoughts and the thought life you want us to have. Lord, be our guide, not just of our actions, but of our mindset, of our intention, of our thinking. Lord God, help us to carve out time and space to ponder, to consider, to evaluate all that you do, all that which you are, and all that you promise. Lord, help us to think deeply this night and the nights that follow, to consider what your great and expansive love and life affords us and calls us to. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for Worship on the Go. To support this podcast and the ministries of our church, please consider making a contribution by clicking the Give button in the top right on our website, www.godsacre.org, or within today's email. God bless you and have a wonderful week.